Somebody's got to talk about it, and it might as well be me. Because it's the news. Well, according to me. Oh, good Tuesday morning. Tuesday afternoon. What am I thinking? It's Tuesday afternoon, 1:39 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is 12:39 Eastern Standard Time, or Central Standard Time, which I just happen to be in the Central Time Zone, which makes that very convenient. I have a few things to talk about. In my cup, I have a cup of chai, my regular big train chai with some powdered creamer in it from a hotel here. I am in Moline, Illinois, Quad Cities, they call it, right across the bridge from Iowa. And I may be going to Iowa for supper tonight, just so you know. I might just walk across the bridge. I don't know. It's a long bridge, kind of dangerous. Not sure I'm going to do that. It's very cold here. I think the temperature, the wind is what makes it just almost unbearable here. Currently, the temperature right now is actually not that bad. It's just by itself, the temperature is not that bad. Temperature right now is 16 degrees. It feels like zero, and I think it feels a lot lower than zero just because of the way the wind is. You walk around a building and the wind hits you, and it's just you've been there, you've done it, you understand. So I am here currently. Because that's what I get paid to do. I get paid to be here, so that's why I'm here. I have a few things I want to talk about. Of course, the big thing in the news right now is the latest issue where someone got killed. I don't like to mention the people's names, the people who have been killed. It's in my opinion, it's disrespectful one way or the other. It's you could say it's disrespectful to not mention their name. It's just disrespectful to mention their name. I'm not going to belittle it. I'm going to let the families deal with it in their own way. Of course, now this family happens to be dealing with it in a way that I think is a little bit ridiculous. But that's their business. I'm not going to disparage them for that. I guess I just did. But I'm not. Yeah. Anyway, the issue seems to be that there is a. All right, so we have this problem in the Trump administration. There are some I would say nominally competent individuals. Kristi Noem, Homan, Mr. Homan, super credibility. There are some other people that Trump has had in the past have been very credible individuals. In my opinion, very sharp, smart, forthright. But my understanding is Homan has been sent to Minneapolis to kind of deal with the situation, to have some kind of negotiations with Tim Walz. I think what's happening here, of course, you've got this whole situation where there's all this fraud, and it is, of course, they're connecting the dots now to Ilhan Omar. Because they're doing this investigation on where all of her money came from. This apparently there was somebody who did a very good investigation into her husband's winery business. There's no winery. They make no wine. Go try to find where you can find a place to purchase wine from the Ilhan Omar related winery that she supposedly has made $30 million with. There's no company. There's nothing there. It is almost as if it is the same thing as these daycare centers. In fact, there's probably more daycare centers, more at the daycare centers than there are at their office that they've got. It is a ridiculous situation. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not an expert on all this investigative reporting stuff that's going on. And I'm not going to be. I just have no interest in doing that. However, apparently Ilhan Omar now she's very concerned about this investigation into her finances. And what they're finding out is, it looks very, very questionable. And that's where she's at this point. She's kind of in this big mess. Now, that is going to be, in my opinion, also tied directly to Tim Walz, to Frey, or whatever the guy's name is, who's the mayor. Tim Walz is the governor. And I just believe it looks extremely suspicious that some of the things that they've been involved in. Now, keep in mind, Tim Walz is a guy who, he visited China. This is all just for entertainment purposes. Facts and figures are completely oblivious to anything that might be real. I think that he, it's just my disclaimer. What I recall is that he went to China like 27 times. Now, what has been found out about that? Of course, that was all in the news when he was running. You know, he was running with Kamala Harris, and he was the VP person. And of course, now what has happened is there's this big fraud about the Somali fraud. What is going on with all this, and what has been speculated now, is that there are ties directly to his party campaign funding, all kinds of other things. That there's hundreds of millions of dollars here we're talking about. In fact, the fraud in Minnesota alone is in the billions of dollars, and it's just, you know, where all that money has sloshed around to. Of course, now you know. My understanding is the attorney general's name in Minnesota, who also happens to be, let's just say he's somewhat brotherly affiliated with the Somali population. And apparently, they keep claiming that, well, they're going after the individuals who are committing the crimes, but you can't submit an entire community. They're not going after the entire community. They're going after, unfortunately, it's looking like why isn't the community then? This community is so pure and good and so wonderful. Why aren't they rising up and saying, "Get this! We don't want these people in our community. They're not exactly out there helping the authorities go after these people." Because the money's flowing, and it flows into their because they're benefiting from it. Why do you suppose that Tim Walz and Mr. Frey are defending all this stuff? Now they claim, "Oh no, we're going after the crooks." First of all, the CNN poll recently was put out, and it was, by the way, this is Topical Tuesday, and the topic is going to be, you know, the thing that's on the docket, the biggest thing. Tim Walz came out with this, I think it was the New York Times, somebody did it, all kinds of people were doing studies on in polling on illegal immigrants. Now, the general population is way in favor of all illegal aliens need to go. If you're here illegally, you should go. If you've committed a crime, it's even a higher rate. People believe that they're here illegally and they've committed other crimes other than just being, the crime is you're here illegally. That's when you do something illegally, you're regardless of what, I think it's, who was it that said, just because you commit a crime, it doesn't make you a criminal. I think, was it Kamala Harris? Who was it? Somebody on the left said it recently. That's right. It was the gal from Texas. What's her name? Running for Senate. It's just finally people figured out she's a joke. She was running. Yeah, whatever her name was. I don't really want to remember. So I'm gonna move on before I remember, because I have to think about it. So just because you've committed a crime doesn't make you a criminal. That's interesting. I could say that about several other things. I won't go off into a rabbit hole on that one. But it, the... Yeah. So there's this weird stuff where they start defending these people, and it's of course now the media would claim it keeps claiming, oh, Donald Trump just said he was going to go after the worst of the worst, and he's going after just general. What ends up happening is they go after somebody who maybe is a child predator or whatever it is. They go after this person who's been convicted of other things. Now the problem is the reason that CBP and ICE have to go after these people is because when they're under custody and when they've arrested them and when they've charged them with a crime and they let them go, they do not hold them for ICE to come get them. They let them back out on the street, which now leaves ICE in a position where they, rather than just going and picking them up at the jail, at the prison system, the correction facility, whatever it is, they have to go into the public and get these people out. Now, the other issue that goes along with this is whenever they are taking somebody like that, they take the people who are with them. So when they pick up a crook, when they pick up a gang member, when they pick up somebody who's out doing, ne'er-do-well, these ne'er-do-wells, they go out to pick them up, and there's people with them, and they're also illegal. They get the whole bunch. They just take them all. And of course, they blame this on, oh, they're just generalists coming in and just kidnapping people. They're kidnapping them. They're just, these masked people are, they're wearing masks, and they're coming in and doing this. Well, the protesters are wearing masks as well. You realize that. One of my big concerns, this whole thing with the one woman who started driving away after they told her to get out of the car. They told her to stop the car, to get out of the car. They were detaining her at that point. The officials were telling her to get out of the car. Now, you can look at this any way you want to, but she started to go. She looked right at the cop that was in front of her. Started to go. Whether she tried to run him over or not, I don't know. I don't think she really intended to run the guy over, but I think she wanted to get away. She was panicking. Her wife was telling her to drive, baby, drive, as she was starting to get in the car. Of course, that's when the shots rang out. And because she ran into the cop. So, or the officer, the federal officer. Now, one of the biggest problems, the reason is there is no cop, the reason this is happening is because there are no cops on the scene. There are no cops there. Today, there's been a leaked document or a document that has come out now that someone has come across, that Larry O'Connor has in his possession now. He has a copy of this training manual that these people have that they use. It's full of all kinds of wacky, crazy things. And of course, they were the two gals that were part of the deal where the gal got shot. They were doing exactly what was in the training manual. When the ICE agent would first approach the lady with the camera, the lady said, U.S. citizen. Apparently supposed to claim you're a U.S. citizen. And the officers just look at him like, they got these weird ideas that some wacko, I don't think it was a lawyer. I think it was just got to claim your U.S. citizenship. First thing you say is you're a U.S. citizen. Anybody can say that. You have to have papers and documents. There's no way to go get around that. Claim you're a U.S. citizen. That's just weird stuff like that. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a immigration specialist. But it's a weird deal. This training thing. Well, in this training manual, they apparently are making it very clear that there are people, 911 dispatchers. There's a place in there for 911 dispatchers to ignore calls from CBP if they have a problem from ICE or Border Patrol. In other words, if they call in 911 and they have an emergency, someone's shot, they are being told to ignore the call. This is happening. There haven't been any officers shot, but there have been officers who needed medical attention, and they are being ignored. There are officers who need support and help because they're being attacked, and they're being ignored. Police officers are being told to stand down, not help them. Don't go in there. Determined we can't be in there because the place is out of control, or they've lost control of a particular area. But that's exactly where ICE is. Now, I would play some audio from some of this stuff, but it drives me nuts to hear it because all they do is beat on drums. They don't beat on drums. They beat on buckets and cans, constantly doing that, blowing whistles, blowing these little siren things, clanging whatever they can together, just making racket. It is designed to create an atmosphere. This protest is designed to create an atmosphere of chaos and confusion and the inability to communicate with each other. And this is all part of their plan. Now, this is not peaceful protesting. And first of all, it's not protesting that matters. That doesn't get you anywhere. Nobody is getting anything out of this. They're not. The only thing that's happening here is they're stroking their own self-righteous ego because they're not accomplishing anything here. They think that they're blocking people or helping people get away. These criminals who are over there. Now it's one thing, you know, if they're going after, you know, they're trying to help people who aren't criminals supposedly or are here illegally, but they're just trying to better their life. They're our neighbors. That's one thing. I kind of understand part of that, but when they start protecting people just because it's the only reason this is all happening, don't think for a minute. This whole thing is all energized. It's all, you know, activated by one person, Donald Trump, their hatred for him and their absolute derangement of reality because they have such hatred for Donald Trump. And anybody who voted for him, they're all out there screaming at these guys saying, you guys are going to be in jail. You guys are going to be in prison. We're going to kill you guys. We're going to, you know, everything's, you know, you guys are going to be executed for the crimes you're committing for being out here doing your job, basically, is what they're telling them. If these people were in charge, this is the radical Marxist fascist left. That's the way they are. And it is absolutely unhinged. And I don't even think that the normal Democrats, if there are any, they're the traditional Democrats now do not even know what to do with these people. They are out of control. They're unhinged. They're beyond the pale, whatever you want to say. They are completely insane. They've just gone insane. Now, having said all of that, my one of my concerns is because with this lady who hit a police officer with her car. Police officers quite often are caught in situations where they're getting surrounded and they're getting, you know, people are attacking their car, and they put their sirens on, they honk their horn, they try to get out of the way, and they start pushing people out of the way with their car. Someone is going to take it upon themselves to say, well, you're attacking me with deadly force, therefore I have the right to now defend myself with deadly force. It's going to happen. Anybody gets caught in a crowded situation like this where they're trying to attack your car and you try to move, they're going to say, that's deadly force. Now I have the right to defend myself. Just like that cop did, the officer did. So that's what they're going to do. This is going to happen. I'm not hoping this is going to happen. I have every reason to believe that if they are careful, that it won't happen. However, it has been attempted already a couple times. Unfortunately, the one time that had a sniper tried to kill some of these agents. Think about that. They think they're so right, so righteous by going out and killing federal officers. This is how deranged they've become. They want to take them out, so they're going to shoot them. So they shoot this one guy, shoots a couple of people, thinking that they're officers, and of course they weren't. They were actually detainees, and they killed the very people that they were supposedly defending. But shouldn't we be taking a step back at that point and saying, hey, what are you guys doing at this point? What are we doing here? What are you trying to get accomplished here? Because you're not accomplishing anything. You just killed two of the people you're trying to defend. But I guarantee you, at some point, there's going to be some officers hurt. This whole thing is going to change. It's all going to become a very different situation. it's already a different situation. But it's now, here's what I think. I'm going to break down the whole thing of what happened with this nurse. I guess it's an ICU nurse. It's out there. Okay, this is a guy who is supposedly, you know, committed to helping people in his job and his career and his occupation, his skills. He's out there with a gun in a holster. And now, Christy Noem makes it sound like he approached the officers with a gun. He didn't have the gun drawn. He wasn't brandishing the gun. The gun was in a holster. That's enough in this particular environment to make the officers feel uneasy and uncertain, and they've got a job to do, and they have every right to secure the area. If you're gonna, if they ask him to leave and he leaves, that's one thing. Just they can, you know, they can just leave. You can just leave. You're part of the protest at this point. No, it's not, I'm all for the Second Amendment. I'm all for the guy being able to carry a weapon. That's fine. But at some point, first of all, and of course, everybody says, well, he wasn't carrying any ID and he wasn't carrying his permit. He wasn't carrying, he didn't doing all the stuff that you're supposed to have. As a purist constitutionalist, I don't care. I don't care about that. What's concerning here is what his intent was, why he continued to press towards the officers when they told him, you know, to stand down, or told him whatever they told him. I don't know what all happened here, but they ended up getting into a scuffle. He didn't comply with them at all. He was being detained. And in the process, I think there was a lot of confusion. The timing on the gun going off and anything else that happened is all speculative at this point. It's all, you know, we're going to have to see how the investigation goes and see what the experts say about this whole thing, depending on who you believe. The left will never believe the actual truth. You can present them with video evidence and everything else and scientific evidence, everything else. They will never believe it because they have one narrative, and that's what they're going to stick with it. So this is where we're at. You can't get them to tell the truth. Every time an event happens like this, oh, she was just going to pick up her kids after school and got stuck in the traffic and she was waving other people around her, and all of a sudden the next thing you know, they're killing her. That's not what happened. The left is over the top, even further than the right is. When Christy Noem said he approached the officers with a gun, and that he was there with the intent to do maximum damage to the officers and mass that he was some kind of mass shooter. I don't necessarily know that. I don't think that. I really don't think he was going that he was a mass shooter. That he was attempting to be a mass shooter. I think it was an attempt to be intimidating, to say, hey, I'm out here with a gun too. Now, he's been on record saying some things about, you know, here, you know, you're going to come at me, this is going to be, you know, you're going to come and find out kind of thing. I think he's, don't quote me on that. I know there's been other people who've done that as well. But that's not a good idea. You know, at that point, don't be carrying the gun. If you want to go out there and protest and get, you know, get arrested, be a fall guy to be arrested for the protest. That's one thing. If you want to go out and do that and have a sidearm on you, then you've got a whole other ball of wax that you've got to deal with when you're wearing a sidearm and you're committing, well, you could say crime. He was commit because he was impeding an officer. He was competing legal law enforcement development. He was impeding that. It's committing a crime, and now he's armed while he's committing a crime, which it can be considered a bigger deal as far as I know. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. The other side of this is he probably, you know, just made a lot of bad choices. Made a lot of bad decisions. Now, you can argue whether or not he had the right to do what he was doing and everything else. That's fine. You know, you've got a right to go out and swim in the ocean when there's a sign up that says there's sharks there. That's fine. But don't expect somebody to rescue you when you're being eaten by a shark. You knew the risks, you knew what you were getting into, and you went out and did it anyway. Now you want somebody to. Those are kind of the kind of things that we have to kind of, you know, step back and think about once in a while in the midst of all this stuff. So that's where I'm at with this. Now in the struggle that they had there was a cell phone involved. I think one of the guys was holding a cell phone. I think the fellow who was killed in this incident. I think that he might have been holding a cell phone. One of the officers might have thought it was a gun. When they heard gun, that all that kind of, there's all this stuff that they were doing. There's a lot of things here that were the officers. Now, I don't know. I know how former training used to be with officers, police officers. You didn't say gun unless there was a gun that was a threat. If there was somebody came in with a gun on a holster, everybody didn't yell gun. Gun was when someone was brandishing or, you know, it was being pointed around at other people, that kind of thing, that it was in play. The gun was in play. This particular situation, the gun was not in play. It was in his holster, as far as I know. That's what I've been understanding, is that they took it out of his holster, or maybe he was trying to get it out of his holster and they forced it out. They got the gun away from the guy. Now, at the time they got the gun away, they still thought there was a gun, and maybe one of the guys thought the cell phone was the gun and he had it in his hand, and they decided to take the guy out. There was a miscommunication, lack of communication, whatever you want to call it, and it was an error in judgment based on the poor, just the chaos of the moment, the fog of war, if you will, that just unfortunately, I believe they made an unfortunate accident. It was an unfortunate decision, I should say. A decision that probably was a poor decision at the time, but hindsight is 20/20. It's just hard to make that kind of a decision in the moment. There's just no way you can get around that. It's either going to be an officer is going to die, or someone, you know, this guy who makes the bad choices is going to die. And it's very difficult to work through all that, but at the same time, it's we have to continue to understand that, yeah, okay, maybe the officer did not do the best thing. Probably should be some examination on what happened there, and maybe disciplinary action. I don't know. That won't happen, probably. At the same time, we have to allow for the fact that this, you know, unfortunately, this fellow is dead now because of the decisions he made, where he put himself into a position where he's testing the abilities of the human psyche when you're in that kind of a situation. I just think it was a very unwise thing to do. The whole protesting thing, in my opinion, is a very unwise thing to do. I just think that they're out there causing more problems than they're helping. But the people who are behind them, funding them and paying their way, making sure that they're fed every night, are the ones who are using them as cannon fodder. They are the ones who basically are the useful idiots that they get all drummed up and send them out there. So that's what's happening. That's my take on what's happening and what happened there in that situation. It's just a matter of time before something else happens on one side or the other, and we have even more outrage and more craziness going on. They're really going after, first of all, painting this guy as a saint, of course. That's the way they always do it. Oh, she was just like the lady who was killed. She was just a poet and a mother of three, or whatever she is. Now she was a poet. They'll put those kinds of labels on them. And then, of course, this guy, same thing. I know ICU nurse, my wife is involved in healthcare. She's involved in a lot of, has the utmost respect for healthcare individuals. And I get it. I understand that. I am in a profession as well where people are supposed to be held to a higher standard, a higher moral code. Responsible for people's lives every day. And there are some wackos. You can't weed them all out. Or there are people who were started off fine and they became wackos for whatever reason. And once that wacko gene starts to happen, and that wacko virus starts to happen in a person, it is really hard to get first of all to recognize it completely, and then to get understand what's going on in their psyche at that point. So I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at this point. I just know that there's some other people out there, and they may be, you know, fine people, or they were fine people, or they might have good intentions. I'm sure that they do have good intentions in their own mind. They think that they are going to be the martyrs. They're going to be the justice warriors fighting for, you know, for truth, justice in the American way. You know, they don't like the American way. But there's some wackos, and we have to understand that it's just going to be that way, and we've got to understand. You know, hopefully we can calm things down, tamp things down, and help these people not, you know, that are on a spectrum. They can hopefully get some kind of grip on reality and realize that this too shall pass. It's not, you know, it's not something they can. They just have to vote on something. We'll see how this all plays out with the fraud in Minnesota. One of the big issues, one of the things that are going on there. It's just amazing that all of what's happening right now. Now, there's of course, at the same time all this is happening, we've got this winter storm going on. We've got all kinds of things with the cold itself is, I think, helping to kind of keep things settled down to some degree. It's just cold to be outside right now. So the people who would protest are a little bit. Now they're finding out, but they're all finding out a lot of things about funding and the people who are behind all everything and all the organizations that are out there. So we'll see how it all pans out. I personally believe that as we go into this next fall, the elections, there's going to be even more unrest and more just this is the, you know, the outrage of the day. Right now, it's the outrage of the week. What are they upset with this week? It will soon be the outrage of the day. There will be something every day they're protesting for. Something. They're just going to be these people are professionals, by the way. They're getting paid. They're very well organized. They're very well funded. They're very a lot of things going on with all that, folks. Well, thank you for listening today. Thank you for participating, you know, tuning in, sharing, whatever you do with this podcast. Again, 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think about what I think. It's the hotline. You can call, leave a message, or text that number. Give me a question or comment or whatever you want to do. We'll go from there. Let me know. In the meantime, have a great rest of your day. God bless, and I will